Here again the words of prayer from St. Paul. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Are you one of those people who begins every day by greeting your coworkers, your family members, your classmates with a cheerful good morning? Or are you perhaps in the other camp that responds to such a greeting with a kind of surly or sarcastic, what's so good about it? Now, perhaps that simply divides us between those of us who are so-called morning people and those who are not, but I would suggest that if you are in the former camp, that there is more to those couple of words than often meets the early morning ear. They are not just meant to be a statement of fact spoken by one who is simply able to be a little more perky before morning coffee kicks in. Good morning is a common greeting, but one that is, or at least ought to be, more than just a variant of hello. These two little words are a kind of shorthand in which the heart of the speaker is really conveying something more like this. I wish for you to experience whatever it is that would make this a good morning for you. Now, that's a lot to say in passing. And so we just narrow it down to this simplistic shorthand. And there are other phrases that employ this little word good as shorthand for more complicated sentiments. Good luck carries with it all kinds of anticipation that the details of a particular event would occur in a positive manner. So, for example, to the swimmer, we don't say, I hope your feet don't slip off the platform before the race begins. I hope the fellow that is racing against you doesn't have the race of his life, and I hope that your leg doesn't cramp up in the final lap. Instead, we simply say, good luck. And we recognize that all of the rest of that is somehow captured in that simple little phrase. So too does Charlie Brown's famous exclamation, good grief, communicate volumes about yet another misadventure of our lovable but sort of hapless character. Good Sabbath, in the Jewish tradition, conveys a warm hope that family worship would be a blessing. And, truth be told, such shorthand could also be used in quite unfortunate ways as well. When you hear or when you speak together the words good and God, or good and Lord, you are most likely hearing the name of God profaned in a way that is exclaimed out of anger and frustration. And in those cases as well, it is altogether likely that we understand the full sort of shorthand of the speaker there too. So whether well used with generous intent or ill-advised with profane effect, that kind of shorthand is a very familiar, understood part of our speech. I submit to you that before us this morning in God's Word, in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, is an opportunity for us to use a little shorthand to convey this profound intent of assurance in Christ that Paul is sharing with the recipients of his letter, and thereby also with us. So first of all, a little word about the context in which Paul is writing. You'll notice in the epistle lesson, you follow in the bulletin if you wish, that the excerpt begins like this. Paul writes, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him." Now one would think that from such an introduction would follow language that is filled with joy and gladness and encouragement. Well, in fact, it is rather a warning. The last days before the final return of Christ will unfortunately be filled with tribulation and trauma. Paul cautions, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed." And the intent of this lawless one, Paul also describes, it is to set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be nothing less than God himself. So these are pretty dark days that Paul foreshadows, filled with counterfeit miracles and all manner and sorts of evil. But as we continue to read, we are reminded that they are also not days for us of despair. For Paul also assures us that the Lord Jesus Christ will kill this lawless one with nothing more than the breath of his mouth. And so the final outcome, the final victory is already assured. Jesus Christ, the one crucified and risen, will prevail victorious. And Paul is thankful that his readers, and we can be thankful that we are among those who are saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, and therefore to us, at verse 15, Paul says emphatically, "Stand firm." Well, then comes Paul's final reading, final word for our reading for today. It's verses 16 and 17, and it's a quiet, strong word. And it seems that Paul intends that word to drape over all of the turmoil that he just described. Not to make light of it, but rather to supersede it by this good last word of assurance. And once again, verses 16 and 17, he says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." That profound expression of intended blessing could be well summarized simply as good hope. That is Paul's prayer for a people who will be likely beset with turmoil in their lives and challenges to their faith, just as we are. Good hope. And if we use that phrase as a shorthand, we know that we are condensing that great blessing of Paul. And that is not a kind of idle or fleeting or artificial hope. No, for Paul makes it perfectly clear, this hope is built on nothing less than our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is real hope. This is the hope of eternal comfort. This is the hope of assurance that God is with us daily in our lives. It is the hope that is a part of everything that we do, that all of it is established through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. This is the hope that we have in our almighty, gracious, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is undoubtedly good hope. So imagine if that little phrase were to become a part of our shorthand speech. It's a phrase that would carry considerably more profound good wishes than even the most cheerful good morning. It would convey a greater desire for a truly positive outcome, even a life-changing transition, than even the most sincere good luck. And it would be far more uplifting in the face of disappointment than even the most empathetic good grief. While there's a place for those little phrases in daily speech, we have so much more to offer as the bearers of hope. Now, it probably sounds a little awkward or peculiar to think of using good hope as an expression. But you never know. Languages change. I mean, it's not too many years ago in common English speech that .com had no meaning whatsoever. And it isn't too many years ago that Google was neither a company nor a verb. And yet language changes. Imagine offering that little blessing to someone beset with illness, or someone who looks ahead at the course of their life with doubt and trepidation. Good hope, we might say. And if we say it to one another, we know that we're summarizing Paul's blessing in those two verses. But imagine also the opportunity that you might have to share a little bit of the good news if you were to say to someone, good hope, on an ordinary Tuesday, wherever you happen to be. Well, that person might reply, either curiously, well, what do you mean? Or maybe with a little sarcasm, what's so good about it? Either way, it would give you the opportunity to say, this is what I mean. I mean, may our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, and God the Father, who loves you with a passion you can hardly imagine, offer you this eternal comfort and good hope in His grace that would comfort your heart, however it might be troubled today, and establish in you every good work and word. That's what I mean. And who knows where the conversation could go from there. And that's what we have right now. Eternal comfort from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort that is draped over all of your tribulation and trauma. It does not hide the pain in your life. It does not ignore the problems. It does not make light of your sin. Instead, it covers over our whole flawed human life with the incomparable grace of God. It is the love of God draped over us right now, and even more so when Jesus returns in glory. And all of that is good hope indeed. Amen.